certainly appreciate the songs that have been sung this evening, and looking forward to that time that we can meet together on that beautiful shore. Things we talked about this morning, for those of you who might have been here, that we talked about heaven this morning. And what a friend we have in Jesus. We can bring all of our ills, all of our troubles, all of our needs, and bring them to him in prayer. And he certainly will answer our prayers. And he is the fount of blessing. David said that when he had joy, when he came into the house of the Lord, and I hope that's your feelings tonight, your emotions tonight, that you came here with a sense of joy. Kay and I are happy to be here again this evening, and look forward to spending our time with you again tonight. The scripture lesson for this evening, if you want to follow along with us, will be from John chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at a few verses there, verses 17 to 21 and 30 to 36 when time comes for that part of our lesson. For those of you who were here this morning, I talked about a non-emotional response, meaning that heaven is a real place and it's not based on our human emotions, it's based on our spiritual needs and our spiritual desires to be there. Due to the nature of the work that I'm involved in career-wise, I've done a considerable amount of research in regard to the Bible and what it has to say about emotions, and we're going to deal with some of that this evening, so I'll share with you. Also, what came to mind as I prepared for this class and some of you, this sermon this evening, some of you who are old enough to know that there were a couple songs out some time ago. These are not out of our song books by any means, but these two songs are going to kind of lead into my lesson for the evening. The first one song was that Big Boys Don't Cry. And the second one, It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. Now, for those of you who are old enough to understand what those are about, those were top songs of the day. And the key point about those two songs is the cry part of that, because we're going to talk about that some this evening in regard to tears and emotions a little bit. So bear with me as we go through this. There are four God-given emotions, and pay attention to the fact that they are God-given in that sense. Those four God-given emotions are the following. We can be mad about something. We can be glad and happy about something. We can be sad about something, and we can be scared about something. So mad, glad, sad, and scared are the four God-given emotions that we all have and we all possess and present, depending on the circumstances. The one that I'm going to focus on this evening will be the sad one, and that's often demonstrated through tears. So just pay attention, that's where our lesson is going. Now all four of these God-given emotions can be overboard, if you will. Sometimes people emote too much, as it's called, and that results in other people being harmed or abused or something of that nature going on. So we're not talking about that style tonight. Well, we're talking about a God-given emotion of tears and sadness. So, in fact, the Bible has some descriptions about some who were tearful, and it's an interesting list, just the ones that I found. There's many others, but The prophet Samuel out of the Old Testament shed tears. David, that we just talked about, and it was by joy that he came into the assembly of God. He also had joy, he also had fear, he also had tears. Moses also had tears, as described in Old Testament times. In New Testament times, the apostle Peter is told that he shed tears. And then we know that the mother of Jesus, Mary, she also had tears that are described in Scripture. And most of all, it's a verse that I know everyone in here knows. The shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35, and it says that our Lord and Savior Jesus wept. So there's nothing wrong with the tears. It's when they come. It can be cleansing. It can be helpful. And Jesus cried for specific reasons in that particular group of scriptures. What I want to do this evening is consider some times where Jesus actually did respond with tears and what those occasions were, and perhaps in the prayer that we had this evening, and I appreciate that prayer, you know, what can we take home from this tonight? So let's go to John chapter 11, and we're going to start with verses 17 to 21, and then we're going to go to verse 30 after that. But if you follow the reading with me, this is reading this from the Old King James here. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already, and that he was talking about here is Lazarus, too, one of his friends. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs long, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Now, get down to verse 30 to complete this. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, then, which were with him in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. This is the introduction to the story of one time in which Jesus shed tears. And if you listen throughout that scripture, it was discussed this evening, and I heard it discussed again this morning here. Think about those people who may not be here, that are facing difficult times. Do you think about those individuals? Do you pray about those individuals? Do you take one step further and make contact with them? As was mentioned tonight, send cards or contact them in some fashion. Be concerned about those who are not here. Because what we're going to find out tonight is that Jesus was concerned about individuals who were facing difficult times. And if we're going to make Jesus as our model, then we also need to walk in his footsteps, so to speak, and have compassion and care for those around us that are facing difficult times. So we're going to look at some times where Jesus did cry, and we're going to look at some times where Jesus did not cry. At least according to the scriptures, we find this true. The first example that I'm going to give, and the Bible does not tell us what Jesus' response to this, and it doesn't really tell us what the response of Mary and Joseph was, but you know the story. Mary and Joseph had come to Jerusalem along with many other family members, and they'd traveled there for the purpose of taxes and other kinds of things. And when they got ready to leave, who was not with them? Well, Jesus was not with them. He was 12 years old at the time, and we know what he said, I'm about my father's business. Why should anybody be concerned? Well, if you put yourself in the sandals of Mary as his mother, would you have been concerned? The answer is yes to that, because your son is not with us. What happened to him? So she returns to Jerusalem, and she finds Jesus at the temple, going about his father's business. I don't know about you, and we're not told what the Bible actually says, or the Bible doesn't say anything about this, but do you think that Mary might have been a little upset with Jesus and told him, don't ever do that again? I think she did. Now, the point of this, Jesus did not cry, at least according to the scriptures, he didn't cry after he was reprimanded by his mother. What he said was, I'm about my father's business. He chose another way of dealing with it. Now, the second time that we might look at scriptures and see where Jesus did not cry, and we have no record as to what he did do, outside of the fact he was in the desert one time and he fasted for 40 days. And Satan tempted him when he was at his weakest point, if you will, from a human viewpoint. We're not told that Jesus cried during that period of time. He fasted, he quoted scripture, and he fought off the evil temptations of Satan. A third time, if we might think about the life of Jesus, he was often falsely accused of so many things. Jesus, we're not told that he cried about that or pouted about that, however you want to look at that. He responded in kind by saying, these people don't know what they're doing, basically, those kind of statements. Also, there was a time when Jesus was being prepared, if that's even the right terminology, for his journey to the cross. And as he went through various trials before the judges and the Sanhedrin and the people of that day that were in authority, he was scourged at one point in time. We're not told about what Jesus' response to that was, but there's no indication that he emotionally responded as in tears, that perhaps you might have responded or I might have responded to that occasion. For whatever reason, God didn't tell us about that response, but he did tell us in times where Jesus did shed tears and the reason behind that. So another time when Jesus was on the cross and other occasions where he was mocked and people blasphemed his name, Jesus did not respond with tears and ask for pity and things of that nature. He responded with strength. Also, when Jesus carried his cross to that final destination and he was under that great burden and difficult time, he again, we don't have record of this as to how he responded, but we don't have record that he cried during that period of time. He had strength, and he went about doing what he needed to do. And finally, during his crucifixion, we do have the words that Jesus spoke on the cross, but we don't have any other kind of emotional responses that in the pain that he was in and all the difficult times that he faced. There were no occasions listed on the ones we just mentioned where Jesus did cry. Now, what event actually did bring Jesus to tears? Well, we just read about these in John chapter 11 and our scripture text for the night, that Jesus wept, cried, had tears when he saw individuals that were suffering in some fashion. He had compassion on those that were having, in this particular case, they were grieving family members from the loss of their brother. He also had compassion on individuals who had health problems or difficult times in life. And Jesus was brought to tears because of the need to comfort that group of people. Jesus had compassion for those that were suffering. And in this case, from the loss of loved ones and those who might have been abused, let's say, or those that were suffering from some consequences of sin, because we're going to get to that in a while. What brought tears to our Lord's eyes? Now, in John chapter 11 that we just read, and you know the story that was behind all this, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were the best of friends for Jesus. And while he was away and near Jerusalem, at least, Martha and Mary were grieving the loss of their brother Lazarus, and they notified Jesus that Lazarus was about to die, or is in soon to die. And for whatever reason, the scriptures don't tell us what was behind the motivation for this, but Jesus did not get there in time to save Lazarus or heal Lazarus. My belief about the reason that Jesus didn't do that is because he knew that he had the power and would use the power, if need be, to raise him from the dead when time came. He didn't have to be there on the spot. He also, I think another reason perhaps, was that he could provide care and comfort to Martha and Mary. You know the response that Martha and Mary had on this occasion. Martha met Jesus on the road before he ever got into the town. And she was not happy, let's say. You know, again, a human emotion here was mad and sad both, because her brother had died and she was unhappy or sorrowful because Jesus didn't get there in time. She may have confronted the Lord from the looks of, from the sounds of that particular scripture. We also found out that when Martha was out doing that Mary was back at the house and probably preparing food or whatever was going on there. She also later went through the same event. And when Jesus saw those two women in pain, he also saw a whole group of people that were in pain and needed comfort. And Jesus responded with tears at that point in time. Now, the Bible states that Jesus was troubled in spirit. during this period of time. He was emotionally, there was emotions about him because of this. John 11:35, that he wept. And then at John 11:36, that people don't pay a whole lot of attention to sometimes, the reason that Jesus was tearful, or troubled in spirit, as it says, is behold, he loved him. He was talking about Lazarus. Jesus had a human relationship with those individuals that walked upon this earth. And Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were some of the greatest of his friends. We have a song in our song book that we sometimes sing called, Does Jesus Care? Well, the answer is, yes, Jesus does care. He knows when I'm troubled. He knows when I'm having difficult times. And we need to lift our prayers to the Lord and rely upon him during those times. Jesus knows and cares when we are suffering from a physical ailment. And I've heard discussions in this room today. There are people that are suffering because of physical ailments. We've all been through those times. And Jesus also cares when we suffer emotional struggles, such as the loss of a loved one, or we struggle with health, or we struggle with finances, or we struggle with whatever the situation might be that we're facing in life. We need to rely upon Jesus during those periods of time. And just as our song was today, we have a friend in Jesus, but we've got to bring our prayers to him to help him to rely upon that. And that's just not in good times. Some people, you know, they wait until bad times come around, and then they want to rely upon the Lord, and that's one good time. But how about in good times and bad times? We need to rely upon God. Be thankful for what he does provide to us, and also in difficult times, so ask for help and assistance. A prayer is not a last resort. It's just the beginning of our need to rely upon our Lord. Now, what about us? What about me? What about you in this particular auditorium tonight? Do you care about others who are suffering due to some emotional or physical pain, or when you hear that somebody's having a difficult time? Do we demonstrate that compassion for those who are in need in some fashion? I said earlier in this morning's lesson that if somebody comes to us and they're seeking food and they're seeking clothes, and I say to them, be warm, go in peace, have I really accomplished anything? The answer is no to that. We have to respond. We have to have compassion and understanding for that person, that they need food and they need clothing. So there's a difference between compassion and sympathy here. Compassion means that I have the ability to put myself in somebody else's shoes, and I can understand when they're having difficult times and problems. Sympathy just simply says, oh, you poor human being, things are so difficult. Sympathy is not what's needed. Compassion is. Can I put myself in your shoes or understand what you're going through? Pity is not what's needed at a time like that. But compassion is required. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to weep with those who weep. And we're also to celebrate or be joyous with those who are celebrating, so to speak. So that's the two sides of that coin. If an individual we know about is weeping, then we are also weeping because we feel for them. They're also, if they're happy and rejoicing for some reason, then we need to celebrate with them also. I'm wondering sometimes if we have not become callous, if that's the right term here, to the needs of others, that when thoughts and prayers are needed, that sometimes we forget that deeds are also required. It's wonderful to remember somebody in a point of time and suffering with our prayers, but sometimes more than prayers are needed. Sometimes it's important to be there. Sometimes it's important just to provide food or whatever the situation may be. And I'm certain that that happens within this congregation. But my point is just a reminder that when people are suffering and having difficult times, we need to do something about that. So, when was the last time that perhaps you were, I'm going to use the word inconvenienced in those famous air quotes there, when was the last time you were inconvenienced by someone who needed help and assistance? When was the last time that you actually shed tears when somebody was lost or somebody needed help? or something you found out was difficult going on. Now, there's a second occasion in the scriptures that tells us that Jesus wept. The first one we know was because of human suffering and a need to comfort others, and he was touched in his heart because of that loss. There's a second time in scripture that tells us that Jesus wept, and he wept because people were lost. Individuals had not, he came to his own in the city of Jerusalem, and he wanted them, he cared about them, and he wanted them to be saved. What did they do? They rejected him. And this particular scripture comes from Luke chapter 19, verse 41. It talks about Jesus gathering this group of people under his arms as a shepherd would do, as a mother king would do. And yet these individuals rejected the Lord. And his response to that was an emotional one. He had tears about this because the people failed to be saved. Scripture tells us that Jesus, or that God in this case, wants all people to repent and to know one that to be lost. So Jesus wept for this lost city. He wanted his people to be saved, and yet their response was to reject him. Jesus cried because these people were lost spiritually. Now I'm wondering again and ask the question, when was the last time that you thought about someone that was lost spiritually and you came to tears over that? When was the last time that you had compassion for an individual that you knew was lost? And that does get to our hearts sometimes and brings about tears. Do we make an effort to reach out to those individuals that are in need and have never heard about Jesus? I mentioned this morning about individuals that were a lack of knowledge about Jesus. They've never been told about him before. Do we find those people and do we share with those individuals? Are we callous to those who are lost? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that it's okay to shed those tears. Scripture tells us that. And not only to shed the tears, but to be concerned about those people, to reach out to those people, to bring them in, as was asked about this morning. Now, what's the status of your own spiritual life? And we're going to talk about that a little bit as we wind down our lesson today. Make this more personal to your spiritual life. By the way, there is a song in our song books about no tears in heaven. My question to this group tonight, will there really be tears in heaven? That's what the song says. What's the Bible say?
God will wipe away all tears.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what the Bible says. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen or when that's going to happen, but Kay and I had an individual who was very close to us in our life at one point in time, and she made me aware of this statement. She said that she had, unfortunately, she died from an illness, and prior to her death, she said to us, you know, it gave her comfort to know that God was going to wipe away all tears. Didn't say there were no tears in heaven. I don't know how it's going to be done, but the scripture actually says that God is going to wipe away all tears. So when we get to that famous pearly gate, and I'm not sure there's one of those either, but when we get to that point, God's going to wipe away those tears, however they're coming about. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's what it says. Scripture says anyway. So God cared enough for us that he sent his son to die that we might be saved. Jesus loved us enough that he gave all up, that everything he had in heaven, to come to this earth and live, and to be mocked, and to be scourged, and to be crucified. All those things that required him to do, and finally to die on that cross, so that we might have the opportunity of getting to heaven in the sweet by and by that we talked about today. Jesus loved us enough for all that, and died for us, that we can have eternal life if we choose to. We've been talking tonight about tears, and I guess I want to mention, how about the contrast to this a moment? God shall wipe away all tears. How about the opposite side of that? What's going on down in Satan's realm? Gnashing of teeth. And by the way, it says tears are going on there. What a contrast. I don't know about you, but I want to choose a side where all tears are wiped away. I don't want to be on the side where it's gnashing of teeth. I want to be in that place where there's no tears, no more loss, no more sickness, no more sadness. I don't want to be in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, with all that being said, I want to think about our spiritual life tonight. Think about your spiritual life. How can you get closer to God? By your Bible study, by your continuing to be here to fellowship one with another, to learn more about God's Word. How can you be a stronger Christian? Those are things we're working for as you leave this place today. For those of you who have never made that decision to come to the Lord, He wants you to be saved. Jesus died for that purpose. And if you've not had that opportunity to state your beliefs before this group of people, to make an effort to repent and change your lifestyle, and eventually be baptized and to live a spiritual life, we're going to sing an invitation song for the purpose of that. What's the name of our song tonight?
Is My Heart Right with God?
Great song, okay? Is My Heart Right with God? It's a perfect invitation song. Get your heart right with God. And if, in fact, you're new to have prayers given on your behalf at this congregation, God is willing to hear those prayers. What a friend we have in Jesus. Bring our prayers to Him. We're going to stand and sing this song. If you have needs, please come forward.